of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh Radio program. Welcome to Thursday, February the 6th. Pray that you are having a great and glorious day. And we want to say thank you today to the folks of Treasure Your Landscape who work year-round helping to create beautiful outdoor areas for people, whether it involves water features or landscape lighting or planting trees or beautiful landscaping, paver installation, making it to where your drains and downspouts will not flood your yard and all of that sort of stuff. They do a lot of different things. They do it everything from the design to the planting to the maintenance, everything that needs to be done to transform your outdoor area into a place your family will treasure. They bring their expertise to your project, and they get in, get it done, and then get out of the way. Treasure Your Landscape, their phone number is 321-749-1432. They work all throughout Brevard County. They're licensed and insured. Decades of experience. They also have Space Coast Nursery, which is 3880 North Courtney Parkway in Merritt Island. It's north of the Barge Canal, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, Saturday, 8 to 1. That phone number is 321-452-5565. They love Jesus. They are friends of the Refresh Radio program, and we bless them in the name of the Lord today. And if they can be a blessing to you, give them a call. Check out what they have to offer. There's a website that you, if you do Treasure Your Landscape search, it'll take you to their website, and you can see some of the projects that they've done. They have done. Or if you don't want to check out the website, come and check out the landscaping on the Grove Street side of Merritt Assembly of God, and you can see what fine, fine work that they do. They have made the front of our church look much, much better than it ever has before. So today, by the way, my name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. We're going to spend the next half hour with you here. We're working our way through 2 Timothy chapter 2. Many times people will just rush right through things. That's not my style. I'm here to work through these. I want us to learn the lesson. There is a teaching style that some people employ, and that is, look, we have a certain amount of material to cover, and we're going to cover it whether you get it or not. There's another teaching style that says, we want to make sure that you get it, and we'll proceed at the pace that you want to make sure that you master it. Now, it doesn't mean that we're going slow on purpose. We just want to adequately cover the material, because if you are listening but you do not remember what you hear, if you do not get to implement what we're talking about, then it's not going to mean any more than hearing a song on the radio. In fact, the song on the radio, if it's one that you like 3 decades from now, you may still be singing that song. If you haven't heard it in 15 years, you could still sing it. So we're in 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're getting very close to the end of the chapter. Let me read verse 22 for you. It says, flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart, but avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. So on yesterday's program, we were talking about pursuing righteousness and love and peace, that we would do that, pursuing faith, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So we had talked about pursuing those things in a community of believers. Today, I want you to know that one of the ways that we pursue that is making sure that it is a community of believers. So the type of company that you hang out with, they can impact your character and your behavior. So if you find yourself in a situation where you are being more negatively influenced than you're being positive, being a positive influence on them spiritually, you need to make sure that you have a company of believers that you are hanging out with. Now, it should not just be people who have the same life philosophy, if you will, if I can put it in those terms, but it should be a community of believers who are all pursuing those things that we talked about, not only in practical manifestations as far as their everyday life, but they're pursuing those things by calling on the name of the Lord. Prayer is not a punishment. Prayer is a privilege. And when we call on the name of the Lord, then we are also calling upon the one who is sovereign in every area of life. You could think of it as filing a court case, if you will. You know, hey, this is God, this is what you have assigned for us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul. These are the things that you have assigned for us to pursue, and we're calling upon you to give us the strategy. We are calling upon you to give us the means whereby we will achieve this goal, not just for ourselves, but for the benefit of all those around us. And so prayer is a vital part of our life. It is a relationship. Communication is something that you learn to do. So I remember just about every grade level that I was in, there was some degree of learning communication. The best way to learn to communicate is not from a textbook, but to learn from relationship and utilizing the language. So I had taken foreign languages, and when I was in high school, I took 2 years of one foreign language. I simultaneously with the second year, I took a first year of another foreign language. That was a mistake, because I don't remember much of anything about the second foreign language. All I do know is that that class messed with me being able to do as well in the first class, which I was in my second year of, and then I took a third year of that language in college, and I thought, boy, I'm ready for dialogue, and ended up for a short period of time in a country where the language I'd studied for, at that point in time, it was 2 years, getting ready to do my third, and I thought, this is okay. I'm going to be able to understand everything. I was wrong. I found out very quickly that lifestyle language and community language, while you might be able to pick up a word here or a word there in the conversation, the pace at which they spoke was much different than the pace of the language in class. And so I mean, I was just overwhelmed, and where I went in pretty confident I would be able to communicate, I came out of there saying I didn't understand much of what anybody had to say there. The great news about prayer is that while we may be using our mouth and praying words, God understands our heart, and he understands the needs that we have. He knows what we have need of before we even ask. So if you are in a relationship with God and no one is encouraging you to continue to develop your ability to talk to hear from, and understand the heart of God, okay, then go on a self-help journey to say, I'm going to become a person of prayer in 2025. And again, the best way to do that is to do that with people who are better prayers than you. So the disciples came to Jesus and said, we've been taught to pray our entire life. We've heard other people pray. We hear you pray. We need you to teach us how to pray. And then he gave them the Lord's Prayer. Well, it's not just the words that we say, but it has to do with the inclination of our heart. And so Paul encourages Timothy that the group that he's pursuing these things with, they not only are calling on the name of the Lord, but they need to be calling on the name of the Lord out of a heart that has been purified. A heart that has been purified, or a pure heart, is a clean heart. It is a heart that is morally pure. It means that when you are standing there, you are praying from a position of innocence. You are not praying from a position of manipulation, and you are standing before the omniscient God, the one who knows everything, and you are standing there as a genuine, authentic person who is wanting to pursue the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So, later on here in the book of Timothy, it talks about dealing with conflict. It talks a little bit about it here in this chapter as well. And one of the strategies that I have employed is, if I'm going to have to speak to a person in a matter that requires correction, that before I ever talk to that person about their problem, I want to talk to God about me. You know, Jesus said you got to make sure you deal with what's in your eye before you deal with what's in another person's eye. And I want to always approach correction not from what is going to make me feel better, but what is going to lead to a more wholesome life on the part of the person that I'm addressing. And so one of my prayers is, God, take my emotions out of this. I don't want to be dealing with this from an emotional perspective. I want to be dealing with this from a spiritual perspective. And this is not about me. This is about them. So make sure that you come regularly before God and say, God, would you purify my heart? I got on one of the searches, like right now, how we're doing instruction. Several years ago, I was captivated by a verse that I read in the New Testament, and it was talking about purity, you know, the things that God wants to make pure in our lives. And in doing so, I came upon a verse. It was in the New International Version where I first encountered it. And it said, to the faithful, you show yourself faithful. To the pure, you show yourself pure. To the blameless, you show yourself blameless. But to the crooked, you show yourself shrewd. And I was like, wow. What I see in that verse is that the people's reality in their life impacts their perception of God. If I'm not faithful, then I am not going to view God as faithful. And I need to see God as faithful. There are many people who proclaim the faithfulness of God, but they're mystified by it because they see some things happening in their life, and a lot of times life is unpleasant. And they said, I thought for sure God would be faithful in this area, and God is faithful. God can't help but to be faithful because he can't deny himself. If we're faithless, he remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. And so if we call out to God out of a pure heart, then we are going to see the purity of God. We're going to see that there is no blemish in him. Okay? So when he has declared us blameless, we are going to see that God is blameless. The last part of that says, but to the crooked you show yourself shrewd. And a lot of people say, hey, God is for me. He's not against me. It's truth. But sometimes his motive of being for us means that he stands in our way to prevent us from making mistakes. So I wrestled for one season when I was growing up. A friend of mine was in wrestling class. He was very good. Another friend of mine was in wrestling, and he evidently, you know, I didn't know this at the time, but in a conversation since then, he was the captain of the wrestling team in high school. They were both very good at it, but my record was perfect. I never won a single match, and so that really wasn't the strategy that was going to work out for me. I needed to find something else. You know, I knew all of the moves, but then I saw people who, you know, they were just better wrestlers than I were. Now, I've learned a few things since then about leverage and things like that. I'd be better now than I was then. So those opponents were obstacles to me from getting a win. By the way, I also did not understand cutting weight and things like that, and I weighed, you know, very little at that time. Feathers, there you can get a pile of feathers that weighed more than I did back when I was trying to wrestle. So another illustration that drives this point home about God being very intentional about creating faithfulness in us and making us blameless in his sight and creating purity is that he stands in our way when we are on the broad path that leads to destruction. There's a highway that I've traveled a lot of times when I was driving back to visit my parents. As you enter the state, about 40 miles in, 30, 40 miles, somewhere about there, you end up having to cross a river, and it's not like the Mississippi River or anything like that, but it's not like crossing a creek. It's a substantial body of water. You got to have a bridge over it, and they travel barges up and down this waterway. And one Sunday morning, there was a barge that was traveling, and as it came to this bridge, something happened. It didn't navigate the journey under the bridge successfully. it hit the bridge and it caused, it hit the pillar of the bridge and it caused the bridge to collapse. And cars just were going at 70, 75 miles an hour, and they were just plunging right off of the collapsed bridge into the water. There was a person that finally saw what was happening and got his car to a screeching halt. That can be very dangerous because people don't expect to be going that far and all of a sudden see a car stop. And he not only stopped his car, but he got out and he started flagging down all of the traffic that was coming so that they would stop and not plunge to their death. And when God opposes our destructive path, that's what he does. He's like, I don't want you going off of this path. I want you to live and not die. I don't want you to continue in your life of sin. I've done everything that is necessary to deliver you from sin and the wages of sin and give to you the gift of eternal life. So we are supposed to pursue peace along with others who call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. We should be looking as a body of believers to be as holy as we could possibly be, not in the definition of, you know, your hair can't touch your ears and all of the external things like that, but that our heart is pure before God and we are not looking for how much of this world can we still participate in and still barely make it into heaven. Really, the heart we're looking for is God give us a heart that wants to be as much like Jesus as we can be here until you make us as much like Jesus as we will ever be in your presence. So we've talked about fleeing. We've talked about pursuing. Verse number 23 now comes and it says, avoid. It says specifically to avoid foolish and ignorant disputes. And so avoid means to reject. It means to refuse. It means to excuse yourself from. There have been times in my life where there were people who I was with, they were friends of mine, and they were going to do something that I didn't want to do. I remember the first time that I ever got invited to go to a movie, and I was in the movie, and there was a scene that popped up very early in the movie, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to need to leave. I went to a high school play here in Brevard County. This was years ago. One of the young men from our church was in this play, and we went, and my wife and I went. We wanted to be supportive, and the subject matter and the language in the play was of such that we got up and left because it wasn't going to be something that we subjected ourselves. I couldn't imagine. You know, I will tell you, it was a high school play that had profanity in it. I ended up, you know, contacting the supervisor of that region of schools, and it's like, do y'all tolerate that in classroom? If you're not tolerating it in classroom, then why would you be promoting it in a school production? So I've got no problems. I've excused myself from church services where it wasn't at Merit Assembly of God, where the subject matter of the church service got to be something that I didn't think should be discussed. I have no problems doing that. And so if we're going to be successful in our journey with Jesus, we need to understand that there's going to be times when we got to flee from things, and fleeing from them is going to be best accomplished by pursuing the things that God wants us to do. We're going to be moving in opposite directions of that. Sometimes you're going to find yourself in a situation where you just have to avoid something that comes up automatically. One time my wife and I, we were traveling, and it was going to be a trip. Because of the tightness of our schedule, we were going to drive all night. It was going to be a nearly 24-hour trip, And she said, okay, well, I don't want to drive at night and I don't want to drive any big cities. I said, okay, we can make that happen. You sleep at night and I'll drive during the night. And if you're coming to a big city, you know, wake me up and, you know, I'll drive through the big city. So we're getting ready to come up on this very large city, and it's where we had to get off and change roads and all of that sort of stuff. She says, I'm ready to drive. It's like, you just told me that you didn't want to drive, and now we're in exactly the environment you don't want to drive in. She said, I think I'll be okay. And so I'm over there trying to catch a little bit of sleep, and we're coming up on the road, and all of a sudden she hits the brakes, seriously hits the brakes. We come to a screeching halt because all of a sudden there's something in the road that you have to avoid. It just popped up out of nowhere. There was no warning. It was just there. She hit the brakes to avoid that, and I look behind me, and I saw that there was this very large semi-tractor trailer that was headed for us, and he was not going to be able to stop. And I turned to her, and I said, "You, honey, you got to hit it and go, or we're going to die right here." She managed to avoid that, but it was something for which there was no warning. She didn't want to drive in the big city, and she didn't want to drive at night anymore after that on that trip. What I'm telling you is the devil would love to position some obstacles in your life that pop up without warning, and you know at that point in time you're not supposed to embrace them. You're supposed to avoid them. One of those things, we'll talk about this more, is foolish and ignorant disputes. I could give you a general rule that I have in life, and that is this. I don't like to argue. Doesn't mean I can't do it. And if I'm going to argue, if we're going to debate, I'm going to do my best to win. But I don't like it. I don't like to deal with anything that's foolish, and I don't like to deal with anything that's ignorant. And so there are conversations that I try and avoid the best that I can. So we'll talk about that a little bit more in life. But I will tell you this. When it comes to avoiding things, if the Holy Spirit is ministering in you and he says, hey, we need to get you out of this situation, don't argue with him. Obey him. And you will find that life will be a lot more enjoyable on the journey that you have with Jesus. God bless you. You have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Whalen specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Whalen Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit whalenduff.kw. Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who provides all you need and the time you deserve to get your real estate purchased or sold.